Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, an extremely rare solo edition. Pretty much all of National Review is headed out west to board the National Review cruise, which will be going on for all of next week. Fear not, though, you will not have to listen to me alone all of next week. Ian Tuttle of National Review will be filling in for Jim Monday through Friday of next week, but we still have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives to get to today for you as we head into the weekend. And when it comes to election season outside of the presidential campaign, the race for the U.S. Senate next year is going to be gathering a lot of attention. And one of the things that certainly been featured very prominently in recent election cycles is Tea Party or grassroots challengers taking on Republican incumbents. Some of those races have actually had the challenger win. Others have been very ugly. We certainly saw that in Mississippi last year. And other times, the incumbent tends to win fairly easily. For grassroots conservatives, this effort got off to a pretty rocky start earlier this month in Illinois' 18th congressional district. That's where Aaron Schock had been the congressman who was forced to resign when he was caught misusing taxpayer money. He's the guy with the Downton Abbey office. He's gone now. In the Republican primary, just after the 4th of July, Darren LaHood, a son of the former congressman who was also President Obama's transportation secretary, easily won the primary against grassroots conservative Mike Flynn. It was about a 40-point margin. And now attention may be turning to the Arizona Senate race, obviously a long time before that primary takes place. But John McCain, who says he is going to run for a sixth term, he'll be 80 years old next year during that election, he now has a primary challenger. There had been a lot of discussion about who that might be, if there was going to be one. And now State Senator Kelly Ward, who is by trade a doctor of osteopathic medicine, is in the race. She's in her second term in the Arizona legislature, 46 years old, and she made it very clear in getting in earlier this week that John McCain's record ought to be unacceptable for conservatives and all Republican voters.
In just the last few years, Senator McCain has voted for tax hikes, for bailouts, for amnesty, for massive spending, and for liberal judges. He's mocked conservatives for trying to stop Obamacare. He's voted 14 times to raise the debt ceiling. He's opposed efforts to stop warrantless wiretapping and spying. And the list just goes on and on and on.
And if that list is less than flattering for McCain, Kelly Ward twisting the knife by attaching the senator to the likely Democratic presidential nominee for next year.
What's most telling is this. Senator McCain was recently singled out by Hillary Clinton as her favorite Republican. Well, let me make a promise to you right here and right now. Send me to the United States Senate, and Hillary Clinton will never say that about me.
Kelly Ward saying, we need strong voices to hold back liberal ideas. I'm a true conservative. But the question is, for grassroots conservatives, is she the best choice to take on John McCain? There has been serious debate about that. There was kind of a standoff, it seemed like, between Kelly Ward and Republican Congressman Matt Salmon about who would enter this race. And it's certainly possible that Salmon could still get in, although that would certainly divide the anti-McCain vote in next year's primary. FreedomWorks, which is a conservative organization that's very active in Republican primaries, refusing to endorse Kelly Ward, and so is the Senate Conservatives Fund. So she might not be the strongest candidate. We'll see how she performs here in the coming months. But when it comes to facing John McCain, she certainly comes in with a couple disadvantages. First of all, he has universal name recognition in the state of Arizona. He's way ahead in money. And in 2010, perhaps the strongest grassroots conservative year in recent memory, John McCain had a primary challenger. It was J.D. Hayworth, the former congressman, who's now a TV host for Newsmax TV. And McCain trounced him in the primary. It was not close at all, and McCain went on to win that fifth term. In a recent PPP poll, which leans Democratic, McCain is ahead of Ward. I believe in that poll was a hypothetical matchup because she hadn't gotten in the race yet. McCain led 44-31%. So there's certainly dissatisfaction in the state of Arizona among some Republicans. The question is, will a majority of Republican voters next year be in favor of replacing John McCain as the standard bearer for the party? It's interesting that Ward got in this week at a time when John McCain decided to dip his toes into the firestorm that is Donald Trump's presidential campaign by saying that Trump fired up the crazies by entering this race and immediately talking about the problem of illegal immigration and criminal aliens coming into this country, sometimes many times after multiple deportations, as was the case with the killer in the Steinle murder in San Francisco. McCain's immigration stance is certainly one of the things that infuriates base conservatives most about his time in Congress. It'll be interesting to see if that issue remains hot, how it could impact this primary. On to the bad martini for today, and to probably no one's surprise, we're going to be talking about what happened in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Two military facilities were targeted yesterday, four Marines killed, one Navy personnel seriously wounded, and the shooter's dead. The shooter has been identified as Mohammed Youssef Abdulaziz. What we know about him at this point is fairly scant. We know that he recently spent about 7 months in Jordan, and we also know that recently on his blog he mentioned jihad multiple times and sacrifice to Allah. So the motivation at this point seems to be headed in that direction, which of course, sadly, we've seen before. His father had been investigated as a possible threat, but the FBI never had Mohammed Youssef Abdulaziz on its radar until yesterday. President Obama was at the White House yesterday, just returning from a trip to a federal prison in Oklahoma to talk about changing federal sentencing guidelines. And here was part of his statement on the killings of those four Marines in Chattanooga.
My main message right now is obviously the deepest sympathies of the American people to the four Marines that have been killed. It is a heartbreaking circumstance for these individuals who have served our country with great valor to be killed in this fashion.
President Obama coming under a lot of fire for this for a number of different reasons, particularly from the right. First of all, for simply referring to this as a heartbreaking circumstance. A lot of the details weren't known at the point that he made that statement, but it was pretty clear it was at least an act of domestic terrorism or murder. Conservative columnist and author Michelle Malkin saying a heartbreaking circumstance is getting struck by lightning, not being deliberately targeted for murder by someone who appears to be following a radicalized agenda. A lot of folks also pointed to the fact that whenever we see these circumstances of what appears to be radical Islamic terror, the president seems very focused on referring to it as an isolated incident, no jumping to broad conclusions, whereas a lot of folks, of course, see him painting with a broad brush on issues of race, for example, when there are tragic killings in South Carolina, Ferguson, Missouri, Florida, and Baltimore, Maryland. So there will be many different aspects of this debate going forward in the days, weeks, and months ahead as more information is known. One of the issues that, of course, has flared up again in the wake of this is the policy issued by the federal government years ago now that military personnel are not allowed to carry weapons on them on military installations. And sadly, General Ray Odierno, who is the top official in the U.S. Army, says there are no plans at this point to allow military personnel to arm themselves, although he says the policy will be looked at. On to the crazy martini now, and it's been a pretty rough week for Planned Parenthood, which makes it a pretty good week for conservatives on that front. It was earlier this week that the brand new Center for Medical Progress released a bombshell video showing Dr. Deborah Nucatella having lunch, sipping her wine, very casually talking about how she aborts babies to harvest their organs. One of her statements is, quote, "We've been very good at getting heart, lung, liver, because we know that, so I'm not going to crush that part. I'm going to basically crush below, I'm going to crush above, and I'm going to see if I can get it all intact." So the casual nature of it, in addition to the fact that she very graphically describes what happens to unborn babies, and of course there's the allegation that Planned Parenthood then sells those harvested organs. That's the issue, of course, that they're pushing back on the hardest, because that's a violation of federal law and could land people in prison for years or lead to massive fines. Planned Parenthood President Cecile Richards, who you probably know is the daughter of the late former Texas Governor Ann Richards, issuing a video on Thursday in which she tried to apologize a tad and then defend mostly what Planned Parenthood does. First of all, here's her apology for Dr. Nucatella's comments at that dinner on the hidden videotape.
"In the video, one of our staff members speaks in a way that does not reflect that compassion. This is unacceptable, and I personally apologize for the staff member's tone and statements."
But she went on to say that absolutely Planned Parenthood participates in tissue donation for research, and then she went on to impugn the motives of the Center for Medical Progress.
"We know the real agenda of organizations behind videos like this, and they have never been concerned with protecting the health and safety of women. Their mission is to ban abortion completely and to cut women off from care at Planned Parenthood and other health centers. and we will never let that happen.
Obviously, a lot of damage in the public relations arena this week for Planned Parenthood, even a lot of pro-choice activists saying this is beyond the pale. For some reason, Planned Parenthood seems to keep referring back to the fact that this was a hidden video. Unless there are state laws against it, that is essentially irrelevant in this case. And another thing worth pointing out is that there was a 3-year undercover operation at Planned Parenthood. So most likely, this is only the tip of the iceberg for the type of videos that the Center for Medical Progress may have been able to collect through various conversations during such a long period of time. Stay tuned for that. All right, enough of you listening to me. Have a wonderful weekend, everyone, and tune in again on Monday. Ian Tuttle of National Review will be in for Jim Garrity. Join both of us on Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.